The last 8 nights have been a little bit different. 4 of the 8, I have received a call between 11 o'clock and 1 o'clock a.m. to come to the building to assist someone in being baptized. Last Sunday morning, we mentioned Nathan Hampton. Since then, we've baptized Angela Wilson, Amy Ferguson, Beverly Lockett. There may have even been others. I want the students at Freed Hardeman to know how much I appreciate the fact that you're taking the time to study with one another and show an interest in those that are not yet Christians. And I hope that the next 8 nights are a little different from the last 8. I hope to get called every night. It doesn't matter to me if it's 1 o'clock in the morning or whatever time it is. I'm just thankful to get up and look as well as I can at that time in the morning and be down here. Wouldn't it be wonderful if all of us would be about that kind of business? I believe that the one that was baptized this morning about 1 o'clock makes 39 baptisms that we've had here at Henderson so far this year. And that's just including the Freed Hardeman students that we have assisted. There have been many other students earlier in the year and even this semester that have been baptized. I just think it's wonderful that things like this are happening, and I'm glad to have a part in it. I appreciate Garrett Monks reading our scripture. I had the privilege of preaching in a meeting a few weeks ago where Garrett's father is an elder at Fayetteville, Tennessee. And let me just mention this. There may be other young men who are students that would like to read or participate in our services. Let us know. Especially let David Powell know. Or come to me and let me know, and we'll do our very best to use you. We'd like to use as many as we can of the students as we also use those that are of our local members. Folks, a lot of good things are happening. I'm glad I'm alive. And I'm glad I'm alive in Henderson, Tennessee. I believe there are so many things for which we ought to be thankful. During this year, we have had a theme that has emphasized the family, and usually our first Sunday in the morning services, we have emphasized the family. Because last week was a holiday weekend, and I knew that many of our own people were going to be gone, I changed and saved the lesson for today, the lesson that emphasizes the family. I've announced this lesson as appreciation in every home. I wrestled for a long time to determine what word I would use in the title. I considered the word respect. I looked at the definition of respect as given in the dictionary, and it said special regard. And to some extent, that describes the concept that I have in mind this morning. An attitude of special regard on the part of each one in the family for each other person that's in the family. I also considered the word understanding, having the right kind of understanding in the family circle. And I considered the definition of that word, and it said that it is the ability to comprehend and to judge. I didn't especially like that definition completely, although the ability to comprehend, to see what the other person is about and to understand that is important and is associated with the idea. But after considering several words, I came to the conclusion that I wanted to talk about appreciation in every family. And the reason that I decided on this word is that a definition for appreciation is to value justly with high esteem. To appreciate is to value justly, or to put it in our own words, to really understand the values that are associated with other members of the family. Appreciation in every family. Someone said to me last week, I don't think it was just in a joking manner, I appreciate you more as a preacher when I go other places. And I said back to that person, I appreciate the congregation here more when I go other places. Now I have the opportunity to work with some fine congregations, have this year. Folks, I see some things going on in some places that you just wouldn't believe. And I really wish, I find myself wishing, that every person in this congregation could travel some and see what's happening in other places, I believe every one of us would come back home and appreciate God's family here at Henderson a bit more. And I'm convinced that if we will really, in a serious way, consider what's going on in the world with families, that we will appreciate our own families a bit more. And that's what I want to try to help us do this morning. Do you appreciate your wife? Do you appreciate your husband, your children, your parents? Let me read that definition again. To value justly with high esteem. Do you really appreciate the other members of your own personal family? It seems to me that there are about four areas at least where we need to develop, if we don't have it, and I'm sure we don't have it to perfection, the right kind of appreciation for one another. We need to appreciate our blessings. It is so easy to look about us and to think that other people have the great blessings in their families. I would remind you that many times we do not know what goes on behind closed doors. And we may not really be able to see the problems that others are facing. But we do know what goes on behind closed doors in our own families. And we need to develop an appreciation for the blessings that we enjoy. There's not a one of us who is perfect. There's not a husband here this morning but who can improve. Neither is there a wife but who could be better. Certainly we can grow as parents and as sons and daughters. But even recognizing and admitting that, I am convinced that if we would be honest with ourselves, that most of us have more blessings in our own family circles than we would admit. And perhaps the reason we would not admit them is we've not really stopped to consider them as we should. In 1992, Brother Thomas Warren spoke on the Fried Hartman Lectureship on the subject of why marriages fail. He told a little story that I have used to develop another sermon, but I think it needs to be mentioned this morning. He said that there was a man, perhaps in his 50s, who was shopping in a department store in the women's clothing section, even in the intimate clothing section. A friend of his came by and, seeing him considering the purchase of a certain garment, looked over at him and said, I see the grass is greener on the other side of the fence. Whereupon this 50-year-old man looked back and said, I can understand why you might think that, knowing how things are in our time, but really, I'm just trying to fertilize the grass on my side of the fence. I really think if you and I would take the time to count our blessings in our own families and maybe fertilize a little bit more the grass that is on our side of the fence and maybe pull out a few weeds that we have caused, we would have better families. There was a certain family in the process of deciding to sell their house. The real estate man said to them, I'd like for you to sit down and make me a list of all the good things that you would point out about your house so that I can use them in talking to someone else. A couple days later, he got a call, and the man said, we've decided not to sell the house. When we made the list and got to looking at it, we decided we didn't want anybody else to have this house. It's too good a house to sell. Now, I don't want you to make a list about selling your wife or your husband, but I think it would be helpful if each one of us would sit down and maybe make a list, if not on paper, at least in the mind, of the blessings that I enjoy because of my wife and my children. We need to appreciate each other more as far as blessings are concerned. In the second place, I suggest to you that appreciation in every family means appreciating the differences that exist. Now, I don't believe that one came from Venus and the other from Mars, but I do believe the teaching of the Bible that God made us in the beginning male and female. And I also believe that that involves more than physical differences. I am extremely glad that God did not make us all alike. Can you imagine two of me under one roof? Aren't you glad that He made us with differences, and that there are differences psychologically, emotionally, as well as in a physical sense? Yet one of the problems, it seems, that arises in many of our relationships is that we as men do not appreciate the differences that are there between us and the women, and sometimes you women do not appreciate the differences that are there. We need to appreciate those differences. I'll admit sometimes we may not fully understand them, but we need to appreciate them. In almost every list that I have read as a result of a survey of the desires of men and women, I have been made aware that they are never exactly alike. Probably toward the top of the list with the men will be the satisfaction of the physical appetite, whereas toward the top of the list with the women will be something that has to do with the expressions by words and in other ways like that. We are different, and we need to appreciate those differences. We need to understand what is important. We need to understand that God made us different, gave us different responsibilities. There were differences even in the punishments that were handed out at the Garden of Eden. There are differences in responsibilities in the family and in the church, not inequality, but differences. And we need to respect, we need to understand, and we need to appreciate those differences. We need to go a little bit further, and I'm not for sure whether this is another point or just talking about the previous one, but we need to appreciate the idiosyncrasies. I was determined that I would use one big word today. That means peculiarities. Little things that are not very important, and yet become mountains in our relationships if we do not appreciate them. A few years ago, when I was in a class on marriage and the family at Tennessee Tech in Cookeville, the teacher said there are four basic problems in the husband-wife relationship, and all of them begin with T. I have added to that list, and at the first service this morning, presented seven. After the service, Brother Bo Miller suggested another. And so I now have eight. TV, especially since there's a remote control. Telephone, travel, toothpaste, whether you squeeze the middle of the tube or the end, thermostat, time, when to go to bed, when to get up, when to do other things, the table where the food is set. Brother Miller suggested the tub with the ring around it, and I'd add another one with a lid, except it starts with a C. Little idiosyncrasies. Some of these seem to be so big. One of the greatest joys that I have in life for recreation is to sit in front of the television with a remote control. And I think that joy will last if it doesn't cause a divorce. Last night, I set my remote control. It has a switch where you can go from one station to the other. And I watched the University of Tennessee game and the Atlanta Braves game, while Judy watched something else downstairs. When it comes to the telephone, I'm a lot like my dad. He calls, and the conversation goes like this. How are you? Fine. How are the children? Fine. Come to see us. Bye. I am still trying to determine what Judy and Betty Rickard especially can talk about for an hour. I don't have that much to say. But we solved that problem with call waiting. Little things seem to mean so much. Judy likes the temperature about 75. I prefer it at 65. When we go to bed, she likes to have the fan going so that she can pull the covers up over her head. I like to sleep out from under the covers. We're compromising. I'm learning to sleep under the covers. When we're going somewhere, I like to know exactly where I'm going to be, and people will tell you that I'll tell them within 2 minutes of when I'll be there. Judy likes to travel by leaving, not deciding which direction you go, and after a few hours trying to decide where you are. We're still working on those compromises. But how important are these little things? Are we not sometimes allowing them to be blown out of proportion? I say to Judy sometimes, and if she were talking on some of these other subjects, she'd be talking to me. If you knew where some people's husbands are, you'd be glad to have me sitting in front of the television with a remote control. These are little things that we let cause problems, but we need to appreciate. Even though we may not especially like it, we need to appreciate the desires of the mate and of our children and of our parents. And I think we need to appreciate the needs of one another. Husbands, nourish and cherish your wives. I think I would admit that we husbands do better nourishing than we do cherishing. And it may be that we allow ourselves to become so involved in making the money that will nourish that we forget the words that will cherish. All of us have certain needs, and each one of us may have some specific needs. As I think about this, I'm reminded of a little funny story that I heard recently. A man went to the doctor. He was very sick. On examination, the doctor said, "I can't find anything medically wrong with you. All the tests show that there's nothing wrong, but you are extremely sick, and I'm concerned. Is your wife with you?" "Yes." "Go out and send her in." He went out. The wife went in. The doctor said to the wife, "Now listen, let me tell you, your husband is a sick man. In fact, he's sick enough to die. And I can't find anything wrong with him physically. I want you to go home, and I want you to see how kind you can be to him. I want you to love him in the best way that you possibly can. I want you to prepare 3 good meals for him every day, and I want you to see just how good you can be to him. If you don't, I'm afraid he's going to die." She went back out, and the husband said, "What did the doctor say?" She said, "He said you didn't have long to live." The opposite of that is an example of an older couple in Tullahoma, where I preached and we lived a few years ago. John Waller went to the doctor. He was probably about 80. Had trouble with his digestive system. The doctor told his wife, "The only way that he's going to have any comfort and any satisfaction is for you to prepare for him 3 fresh, hot meals every day." To my knowledge, Sister Waller cooked a fresh, hot meal every day that Brother Waller lived. Now, that wasn't easy, but she appreciated his needs. And folks, when we can come to the point that we appreciate our blessings, our differences, even our little idiosyncrasies, and our needs, and we do our best to supply those, we're going to find happiness in the family when we have appreciation in the family. And the greatest thing that you can do to put all of this in proper focus is to be a Christian. If you're not one, you need to be baptized into Christ this morning. If you are one, but you need to come back from going astray, you need to do that today. We can have better families by being better people. Appreciation, better people, being Christians. If you're not, come as together we stand and sing.
And betrayed by all, hearken what meaneth the sudden call. What will you do with Jesus? What will you do with Jesus, my friend? Neutral you cannot be. Someday your heart will be asking, oh friend, what will he do with me? Will you evade him as Pilate tried, or will you choose him? While
Brother Charlie Smith, one of our elders, will please come and be ready to lead us in prayer in just a moment. I read this statement from Jamie Davis. I come this morning asking for forgiveness and for the prayers of the church. This summer and as of late, I've experienced many family and personal problems. Instead of taking them to the Lord, I've tried to handle them by myself. Thus, my spiritual life has hit rock bottom. I've lost focus, especially in service and worship to God. I'm sorry for allowing this to go this far. I ask for your prayers and forgiveness and the forgiveness from God. Again, I am sorry. I pray that I will always look toward God for help and guidance. For Jamie Davis, we now have the privilege to pray.
Let's pray. Our Father, we're so thankful for the privilege we have to come together today. We thank your Father for the courage that Jamie has shown by coming forward, and thank you, Father, that he has reexamined his life, and let us all work together to encourage him and pray that the problems he has can be solved and he can go on with a normal Christian life. Father, let us all examine ourselves and let us try to live closer to you each day in word and deed. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Prepare us for the partaking of the Lord's Supper. Please turn to 138. 138.
Oh, what wondrous love I see freely shown for you and me by the one who did atone. Just to show his matchless grace, Jesus suffered for the race. In Gethsemane alone, oh, what love, matchless love, oh, what love for me was shown. He gave to me when he suffered.
Let us pray. Dear God, we thank thee now for this opportunity to come before you and to give thanks for this bread. As we think about the matchless love that Jesus had when he so painfully allowed his body to be placed on that cross, help us to focus our minds on the cross and think about those things. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.